Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans. And PK is firing out of the gate today.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
Coming in hot.
Ready to go right after Joe Rex.
Joe said two foolish things during your choices, yours, which was a mildly entertaining segment.
Thank you.
That I listened to in the car on my way here. One, when you were talking about leaders in receptions, he mentioned the name Tajay Spears. How could Tajay Spears lead this team in receptions? Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are splitting the job. So if Tony Pollard gets hurt in game two, Tajay Spears could conceivably have a chance. Tajay Spears is going to catch about 1.5 or 2 passes a game. He could have an outlier game with 8. But a guy that's going to catch 2.5 passes a game at max can't possibly lead this team in catches.
Okay. I'll bet you. I mean, I didn't pick him.
But you mentioned him as a possibility. He's not a possibility.
I mentioned him as a possibility. I will bet you that he finishes within 20 receptions of the leader.
Really?
Well, that's fun. You could say finishes within 20 receptions of the leader. If there are 4 guys between him and the leader – You weren't close.
Doesn't matter. Then all you're asking is the number. You're just asking about the total number. What I'm saying is Boyd's going to get a lot. Ridley, Hopkins, it's going to be spread around. And I think that Spears will have – I think he'll have significant more catches than Pollard. That's just my guess. And you never know. Some of these – I mean, even like Mixon in that Bengals, he had some games where he caught a bunch of passes. I mean, I'm going to go look at Joe Mixon's numbers now when that Bengals offense.
It's going to be.
I don't think it's as foolish as you say. All right, what's your second one? All right, fine. Your second one better be better than that.
Second one is very dumb. It's this Tannehill thing where because once all the quarterback things filled up and he hasn't taken action when there are no jobs available, you think he's going to retire. Yeah, I think he's probably considering retirement since he hasn't taken a job, since there are no jobs available. That's the kind of thing I hear at 2:00.
This is worse than the first one. What? What the hell are you talking about?
There are no jobs for Tannehill to take now. So for you to conclude that he's considering retirement because he hasn't taken a job is silly.
No.
He's going to play this year.
No, no. Listen, as I said, it's well supported. He's made a ton of money in this league. I mean, he was a high pick, in 2011? I don't know what his total earnings are. We can figure that out. It's big. He's been seriously hurt. He had the ACL that he tried to heal by meditation or whatever in Miami, and then they finally no, Ryan, you actually have to repair the ACL. He had the shoulder. He started to get banged up here. You know, the ankle, foot, all that stuff. Yes, I absolutely think it's feasible that a guy like that is I could be a backup in this league and get into the rotation of making, go $4 million a year or whatever it is, $8 million a year, be a top backup in the league and go wherever and travel around. Or I could go be with my young family after making, 9 figures in the NFL and be happy with that.
Guys who retire at that stage, Jake Locker. Guys who don't retire at that stage, everybody else. I bet you $50 he plays this year.
But again, I'm not betting you.
No. I'm not going to put my money where my mouth is.
I didn't say he's retiring. I just actually agreed with what Robbie said, which is it makes sense to sit back and wait and see when a good opportunity to actually start.
Of course it makes sense. There are no opportunities right now.
By the way, quick Google search.
But the point, I don't think he's retiring, but you dismissing that as stupid is stupid. So you're stupid. No. Your dismissal was stupid.
He's not
retiring. My point was actually good. Sorry, you lose.
He's not retiring.
Quick Google search. Tannehill has made close to $196 million.
Yeah.
You know what guys who make $196 million, you know how they make it? They want more money. He sees an opportunity in the next 5 years to make another $30, $45, $50, $60 million, and he goes and does it. Most of them.
You're telling me that a guy who's made $196 million, who's had the injuries that I just mentioned, who is 35 years old, no way that dude would consider retiring? You don't think we can find examples of dudes in their mid to late 30s in this league who have retired?
Highly unlikely. Marcus Mariota doesn't like football. And he can't wait to sign another contract with another team.
Do you want to compare his career earnings to Tannehill's? They're not close.
No. Listen, yeah, dude, I don't know if you know guys with money. What they want is more money.
Hey, Paul, if you've been making 30 and now it's like, how's four sound? Let's dribble a few
more
in there.
He's going to make more than four. I'll bet you $50 on that, too.
Hey, put your hand down.
You had the opportunity to make a lot of money today. You're on the program.
He's not really backing up his stuff. I'd take an easy. If I was this confident, I'd take an easy $50.
I did not say he's retiring. The idea that there's no way he would consider it. By the way, Robbie agrees with me. He just, you know, you guys like to gang up on me, so he won't say it. But Robbie agrees.
Gang
with me.
Up on him.
Yeah, that's right. Poor me.
Okay, all right. On with the show.
All right,
good start.
I said he's waiting on somebody to get hurt and then take his job.
Exactly what I said.
Right, but we've talked about the retirement piece possibility. It's absolutely there. How would
it's
you
there
not
when
consider
nobody
it?
Gets hurt and no good jobs emerge, then he might retire if the situation's forced on him. He's not thinking, man, I'm dying not to play anymore.
He's waiting on Vrabel to get a job. Just wait. That's what some people in text line think. Well, when Vrabel gets a job, Tannehill'll be the quarterback.
There you go.
The backup quarterback.
By the way, people on the text line coming to PK's defense. Maybe we can get Arden Key to get as mad at opposing quarterbacks as he did Paul. Maybe he might get some sacks that way. It's from JD on the text line.
I think that's more taking a shot at Arden than it is defending Paul, but
also,
that's a fair point.
This Henry thing that started on this show that blew up into, you know, something that had no business blowing up into. It was the most supported, debatable take I ever had on Twitter. Or like 80% of the people were with me. And still, I mean, it's just such an encapsulation of what's wrong with journalism now and with Twitter. Like the New York Post picks it up and says, Henry fires back at critic. I wasn't critical of Henry at all.
Oh, really? I got to find this. I didn't see that.
Was he firing back at me when he said, go find something to do, Paul? That's a funny line. But he's not firing back. He didn't take my hat. Arden Key was firing back.
Yes, he was.
I don't know at what, but he was firing back. Go find something to do is funny.
By the way, Joe, Joe Mixon had 60 receptions in 2022. That's 52 last year.
And what did Jamar Chase have?
I don't know. I need to go look, but probably more than 60.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If the Titans had Jamar Chase, I would definitely pick him. Well, they don't.
They say that they're using Calvin
Ridley. Spoiler, they don't.
Whoa. Yeah. Rex Road taking shots this morning at Calvin Ridley.
No.
I hope he's listening as he drives in.
What is your answer, though? But what is your answer, Paul, on that question?
Hopkins.
Okay. So you actually agree with me.
Chase had 87 that year, by the way. That Mixon had 60.
Okay.
Mixon had 52 last year. Chase had 100.
I think it'll be Hopkins.
I mean, he could have taken the bet, be within 20, but he blew it.
He could have.
There is something you're willing to put money on? Because you came across so far today as incredibly cheap and scary.
Yeah, you're asking me to put your money where your mouth is. You're asking me to bet on something I didn't say. I'll bet you. I didn't say he's going to retire. Oh, let's bet. I didn't say he's going to retire. But good idea. No, actually, the Spears thing was probably the better of the two things that you ripped me on. By the way, since we're on this topic, we were going to talk about it later, but since you're in here, I'd like to get your thoughts on the Rand Carthon answer to Terry McCormick's question about the Derrick Henry trade.
Yes.
Terry McCormick's question.
Right? I think it was Terry, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. Was it me? Yes, it was.
How senile are you that now?
On the Derrick Henry trade? Look at Nicholas.
I want to hear it.
How senile is who, Joe?
Bet him, buddy.
I bet you $50, Joe. It was me.
I may have to.
How senile am I, says the guy who doesn't know who asked the question, which was me.
I'm retiring if this is true.
That could have turned into a third for Derrick.
Whose voice was that?
I thought that was Terry.
Yeah, that was definitely PK.
All right, we're going to a medical break here. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You and Terry sound alike. I don't know who should feel worse about themselves.
Dude,
I'm sitting
a couple seats away from you. Terry's on the other side of the place.
Okay.
Also, it's not that important who asked the question. I don't know why you need to identify the question asker in every situation.
You're the one
who
was me. It was me.
Well, you're the one that's saying it's Terry, which is factually incorrect.
So anyway... Al says $69 million. Okay, so anyway, so first of all, let's review. You know, Dan Pompey wrote this story this week. there was one missing word where it's – I mean, that's Eric DaCosta told him this, and that he was at Baltimore. And
yeah.
It's written very clearly that Eric DaCosta said that it was a fourth that could have turned into a third. So this is – we have now got – and Rand yesterday – Rand's like, I don't know where that came from. I'm like, I do. It's from the Ravens GM who just told our reporter that that was what happened. So
I would have liked for you to have stood up and said that, defended your boy.
Yeah, I should have done that.
You should have done that.
So how do we view this then?
He said, she said. They don't want to look bad. And he told an untruth.
Rand told an untruth.
I would think so.
I think the only thing
– that was my initial reaction.
Yeah. Like, you could go semantics with this where Rand could come back at DaCosta and be like, man, we didn't say for sure it was that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Semantic BS.
But it seems basically like that came out and then you believe ownership.
No, I don't believe – I misspoke the other day because I reported at the time, and I should have remembered this. This is me being senile, that Amy did not nix it. So I think – upon further thought, my thinking is, and I don't believe that Vrabel nixed it. I think Vrabel thought he was safe. This is still relatively early in the season, and we know that it was reported that Vrabel was safe by Diana.
We'll get into that later,
okay,
too.
Okay, so I think Vrabel wanted everything he could get for next year. He knew last year's team was bad. He was disappointed that they didn't trade more than Kevin Byard. I know this. So... I don't think it was Brinker. So I think it must have been somebody like Bryce Wasserman, who's got good influence. It could have been Kenneth.
Burt Nyhill? He's in there. Yeah, no way!
You know what I mean? It could have been somebody more peripheral making the case that this is bad for the franchise in terms of our marketing, in terms of our treatment of our star player, in terms of what it means this year.
You think Bryce Wasserman comes in there and just dunks on this trade?
I think Bryce Wasserman had influence over John Robinson being fired.
Okay. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Very interesting. Because, yeah, like, if it was Amy, then yesterday adds up to me in terms of, yeah, nope, that did not happen. Don't know where that came from. Right, because obviously ownership doesn't want to, and it makes. I mean, if it's ownership, which is a natural thing to think, then it makes ownership look bad, especially now. And it's always after the fact, but everybody now is like, "How could you not get that peck?" Even though in the moment, a lot more people would have been mad about the trade.
Yeah, I think at the time, like I don't know what I don't remember what I said at the time. I would have thought. They should have. My issue with trading Derrick Henry is I don't think, and I still find it hard to believe, that the Ravens would have given up something as good as a third for Derrick Henry at that stage last year, knowing that they were a season away from getting him for free.
We talked about a fifth or a sixth as a possibility with Henry.
And I think those were more realistic offers. And that's what I was hearing, that they weren't getting good offers for their people. They would have traded several people if they got good offers.
I know we have to go. Still, he played that Derrick Henry clip on Bussin' with the Boys. He's like, it was close. It was pretty good. That kind of went well with all this. But the greatest text that we've ever received, I need to read next.
We'll get into all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharski, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Or as close as he thought you'd be to where you want to be when you took the job 9 months ago.
I do. I feel really good about where our team is at. I feel good about the players we've drafted. I feel good about the players we added in free agency. I feel good about the guys that have here in the locker room before I got here. So I think the team's in a good place. I love the way they work. I love their attitude. And so we're going to see what we're all about. And the best part about it is you know, we get to put pads on and go play football and get to show people whether we're up to the task or not. And I think that our guys are, and I'm excited to see that.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. Paul Kuharski with us from paulkuharski.com. Brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Kieser here with you as well. PK, we're going to get your thoughts on things that stood out yesterday at Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, Anthony Robinson's press conference. But first, Joe Rexrow, according to him, had the greatest text message we've ever received.
I want this person to please put your name here so we can give you credit. But he says, as a psychiatrist, It is my professional opinion that Paul is extremely jealous of Joe. Excellent takes. His envy is blatantly obvious. Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We all see it, but you had the courage to say it. I appreciate you.
Yeah, that's a courageous thing to say.
Yes. Yeah. Please give us your name so that we can credit you and celebrate you.
Yes. Paul is very envious of Joe. Yeah. Losing his mind the last time.
Senility.
Thinking that Paul was Terry McCormick.
Yeah. If we could get a senility doctor in. My father had very bad dementia before he died. I know a guy up in Jersey if you want to go see him.
Oh, good. Let's take the show to a dark place today.
I love being able to – I don't love it, but mentioning that and bringing Joe right
– just right on down. Yeah. Just right on down. You know, last time we had a conversation like this, he was talking about colostomy bags and ginger chews and all this other stuff. Good right. stuff.
Or blue chew, whatever strikes
blue
you.
Blue chew from my microphone.
That's right. BK, anything in particular stand out yesterday with Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon?
I liked what Callahan said about Levis. I thought it kind of leveled things off. You know, everybody goes crazy for and I mean, I don't think it's insignificant by any means that Levis arranges the Cabo trip and has these workouts at Vanderbilt. But then his coach comes in and says, that's what you expect of your quarterback. Lead and bring people along. And he's not talking physically bring people along, but he's talking, you know, when you're doing stuff, a quarterback needs to do it with people. And so, you know, Levis met that expectation, which I think is big. It really is, I don't want to say like put up or shut up time. Obviously, Levis isn't that far along. But, you know, I think we all watched him through the off season and there wasn't a dramatic improvement. And it's hard, though unfair, not to go out there today or for this first batch of practices and want to see some notable improvement from all of this work. And I find myself kind of have to fight that, know that that's unreasonable. But from the course of today to the end of camp, we do need to see some notable improvement. And so in that regard, it's on for Will Levis.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you want to see him be sharp and sharper than he was in spring. It was a new offense. It was a rookie who now has been trying to learn one offense, and now I understand this offense is more what he was used to. At, you know, in college to some extent, but it's still a new offense, and I think some of the timing stuff isn't there, and that's where all this off-season mental reps, you know, should matter. But yeah, I will overreact. There will be overreaction, but the overall sum of camp, yeah, you want him to be sharper than he was in the spring, but I don't think it's like anything to hear has been especially concerning, in my opinion. Maybe you disagree.
No, I wouldn't say especially concerning. I would say I've had to force myself to back to reasonable expectations because the excitement of the new coach, quarterback guy, a system guy, the new talent around him. Every time I've had a chance to watch him, I've wanted to see more. Let's see the growth and everything. Unreasonably so. And so tamp it down. Well, at some point during this, I'm going to take that leash off of myself. I think we're all going to take the leash off. So hopefully he's showing that progress. Hopefully he does something big in the preseason games, even operating a vanilla version of this offense. And there's something to be more excited about that doesn't result in him being as big of a question mark going into opening day as he might be.
Well, I think one of the interesting parts about this season as it goes along is kind of determining when to take those reins off as the season goes, right? Like, I think we've talked about this. I think it's reasonable to expect, to a certain degree, a slower start for the offense based on it is a new offensive line, it is a new play caller, it is a bunch of new pieces coming together. And sometimes we see that in a regular season. It takes a while for guys to get going there. In the same breath, this is a huge year. Maybe it's not put up or shut up for Will Levis, but they're trying to make a decision on what he is and whether or not he's the quarterback of the future. So how long do we give ourselves this year before you say, you know what? It's been five games. We need to see more from Will Levis. It's been seven games. We need to see more from Will Levis.
And here's the other big thing about Levis that I don't think we've given enough consideration, and Warren Sharp wrote about this some. His average throw was 10.5 yards downfield. The average among passes that qualified for passer rating was 7.7. 22.4 of Levis's percent of Levis's throws were 20 yards or further downfield, highest rate in the league. Almost a quarter of his throws were 20 yards or further downfield. Average was half that. Next closest was 14.6. Okay? This is going to come back. Like, all of us are fired up about the quick release and the long arm. And they're going to take their shots for sure. But for him to be good and for the Titans offense to be good, those numbers need to come down.
Yep.
And he needs to hit more intermediate and short passes that will help the new run game, which is going to include short passes as part of the run game, really. And that will help open up some of those deep shots and enable him to find more open people instead of forcing some stuff that's not open, which he did last year, which accounted for some of the low completion percentage and stuff. I don't know if people are really thinking about that or ready for that. It's going to be a shorter passing offense. Joe Burrow's yards per completion have come down the last 3 years. Now, there have been injuries involved in that, but it's not going to be as high-flying maybe as people think. Hopkins isn't a deep guy. Boyd is certainly not a deep guy. And those guys,
Ridley is.
So, but there's, you know, if you're thinking in some way, shape, or form, a third, a third, and a third, well, 2/3 of it isn't deep.
Well, those numbers also tell me that they didn't have anybody on the roster last year, maybe outside of Hopkins, that could get open quickly, right? I mean, it's that. Then hopefully that changes this year too.
And they didn't know how to use one when they did get Kyle Phillips out there, who I think is on the outs now, but I think last year, when he came off IR, was an addition that could have helped them with those things, and they couldn't figure out how to make that work.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com coming up next, talking all things Tennessee Titans, taking your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. Joe, you have a thought from Austin on the text line.
Austin says, Paul, don't you think those stats are more a byproduct of being behind the chains of the battle line than a representation of Levis's decision-making? I said, you know, good question, I'll bring it up. I'll say, first of all, it's nine games. I struggle to really take a lot out of nine games with, as Austin said, bad conditions. I feel like there were times where he just threw it up, you know, he just got rid of the ball. Also, like the first game, right, it was just like the Falcons decided not to cover anybody downfield.
Yeah.
It's a small sample size. So, I mean, I think you're right.
It is a small sample size.
This offense definitely, like you watch the Bengals offense, and also it plays to Burrow's strength, though. Burrow is, his accuracy, short and intermediate, is elite. And so they play to that. So how much of their offense is, well, that's what Joe does really well, so let's do that. Also, I know they've had to go to a lot of, like, let's get Jamar the ball quickly, let him, you know, things like that. Maybe this offense, because Will does have a really nice deep ball, maybe they do go downfield. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they'll go downfield more. But listen, we can't write off everything he did because the offensive line was bad and the weapons were bad.
No, that's fair.
What's on the record is on the record. And what he did, he did. So, you know, you can take the rough edges off a little bit, but you can't erase it. It exists. It happened. We saw it.
Yeah, and I do think in order for them to maximize what they're going to be, you're right, those numbers have to come down. Like, it's not sustainable to be throwing the ball that deep every play
and think that you're going to have
any sort of efficiency.
Everybody's just presuming it happened.
Right.
It has to happen. The process has to occur. He has to make better decisions. You can't just assume he's going to make better decisions because he's got better protection and whatever. We saw bad decision making his senior year, and we saw bad decision making last year. And we know the coaching situation wasn't as good in his senior year at Kentucky, and we know the protection and the weapons weren't that good last year. Nevertheless, that's 2 years of bad decision-making.
Okay, so you're saying that last year was a year of bad decision-making?
There were a lot of not great decision-making.
There were some. Did you come away, Robbie, from last year being like, man, this kid really makes a lot of bad decisions?
Not a ton, no, but I mean, to his point, his senior year, I thought he made a ton of bad decisions. So he was actually better than I expected last year. And we talked earlier in the show, I mean, the turnovers, like he didn't throw that many picks. There are probably about three or four more at least that he should have thrown last year too. So, no, I didn't walk away thinking it was like some epidemic of bad decisions from Will Levis last year.
I'm not saying it as much as Callahan's saying it. Yesterday said the three things that we've got to get down to get into the flow are accuracy, decision making, and I can't remember the third thing. But he's saying I need him to get these three things down in his regular flow.
Everybody's saying to move he's not on a finished product. I mean, of course. Yeah. I just don't think that's. I don't think it's like a. I mean, it has to get better. Of course. I mean, he has to get better at everything if he's going to be what they're hoping he is. I don't look at that. I thought one of the most interesting things that he said, and maybe it's the same thing you're talking about, is he said he's an accurate passer. It's more about on time, offense, where are you going with the ball, get it there, which I thought was interesting. I still feel like one of my biggest questions is
how accurate is the muscle memory.
And you know, are you gonna pop it in there every time when you do see it? But I just don't think he was like Mr. Wild all over the place. Head scratching decisions last year. I was pleasantly, I would say, surprised.
He was better than I expected him to be. But
he has to get better. We'd all
agree. Some decision making goes into it when you throw 58%.
Let the record show we have Adam in Portland and Kyle on the line at the same time.
Oh. So
the conspiracy theories yesterday thrown out there that they're the same person are not real.
Well, unless they're working. You know, the guy has his wife another line.
Well, I will point out this happened on Stille yesterday, too.
Oh, did it?
It's a little weird that they both, like, they're really trying to make us think they're not the same person. Let's find out.
Just let the record show. That's what the text line thought yesterday, but we have visual evidence otherwise. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
This is Kyle. I'm just kidding. Thank you. Dude. Well, you know me forever, too, dude. You know my voice, whatever.
Hey, it wasn't me.
So, this is the thing, though, Robbie, man. And Paul, I'm the hugest Paul fan through the years, and I'm the one because there's not many, and I know that. But I'm a huge Paul fan. But I feel like his Levis takes are super weak. And so I look at for a quarterback to get me excited. I want to see something unique in their game. Marcus tricked me with that first game he had. I was like, his short game is going to be super quick because he's got like a rocket and you just didn't see it in the short game like that. Well, Levis is that shoulder shimmy, that pump fake, and you don't see it a lot anymore. You don't see people using the pump fake the way he does, and he uses it a lot. So it's just something that's kind of unique. I don't know if he's not a finished product. He's still young, but he's got enough in his game to make me think he could be an exciting quarterback. So I just look, does he have anything like special? And I think that's special in his game.
Well, I agree that that's special. I just think we're particularly that one texter, a little eager to just toss away what's in evidence.
Okay, you got to be quiet because I want to hear Kyle immediately after Adam.
I'm just glad there's always a backhanded compliment when it comes to Paul. He's like, I love Paul. I know no one else does, but I love Paul.
Yeah, when somebody agrees with me. For the first time ever, I agree with Paul.
I am Paul's only fan.
Right.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, quickly. How are you doing?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I did a little harsh on Will last year when he was throwing those should have been picks. I mean, he had zero opportunities to make a play. I mean, every decision he was going to make was going to be bad. Hang on to the ball, he's getting blasted. Throw into double coverage with Hopkins, throw into a blanketed NWI. He had no options, man. It was like he's playing with a peewee team, is what it reminded me of. He was the best player on the field. But that's it on Levis. But I think I could see Tannehill waiting it out and Deshaun Watson, him sucking like we just know he's going to, and Vrabel's up there. I bet he goes to Cleveland and takes over.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Kyle.
They've gotten themselves.
They got Jameis back there.
Two backup quarterbacks. Yeah.
So I will make this point too on Will Levis. The last time that Will Levis played a season of football in which he had even reasonable protection, he was excellent, and that was the 2021 season at Kentucky, where he completed 66% of his passes, threw for 2,800 plus yards, 24 TDs. He did throw 13 picks, so like you know, he threw 23 picks in college, but. That was the year people were like, ooh, is this guy going to be the number one overall pick? That's the last time he's played with an offensive line that wasn't a joke.
Okay.
Because as Kentucky last year, it was a joke. It was awful. And last year we know what the Titans were. So, doesn't guarantee anything, but I think it's worth mentioning if we're going to go to his past.
I would agree. Now, look, I struggle with all that sometimes too. I'm fully aware that the conditions were bad. The offensive line was bad. It was bad as last year at Kentucky. It was horrible last year with the Titans. I also watched one of the worst offensive lines I think I've ever seen with Joe Burrow in year two. Didn't slow him down much. 34 touchdowns, 14 picks, threw for 4,000 yards, 4,600 yep. yards. Now, I know he had good weapons.
It's Joe Burrow.
And he's a much better prospect.
And he's a much better prospect. I get all that. But I'm saying if – when you're quarterbacking to the level that you need to quarterback at in the NFL, sometimes you can overcome some of that stuff.
Sometimes you
That's
can.
My broad
Sometimes you
point.
Can. But I believe that the offensive line and the trenches have always been and will always be the most important thing in football. And that's why Jared Goff is someone else that we all think he's so good. He has the best offensive line in
so
football.
Good.
Well, okay, well then you are now in the minority in the NFL because it's – and Jared Goff is fine. But Jared Goff has an incredible benefit of the offensive line. He's a great example
right.
of
which is
why
helping
it matters.
Make him great.
Sure.
Right. But what I'm saying is I abide by the idea that sacks are somewhat of a quarterback stat. Now, I understand Levis is young and needs time and all of that. But no matter how good his offensive line is, he's going to need to get himself out of trouble and make some decisions. There's going to be pressure and all of that. And Jared Goff is at the very high end of having elite protection. Peyton Manning didn't have that for most of his career. Peyton Manning got himself out of trouble, got rid of the ball, all of that stuff. So did Brady. Now I'm talking elite here. But that's what you want your quarterback to be able to do is avoid trouble, generally speaking. And so the idea that Will Levis is going to go from having the worst offensive line to having the best offensive line is folly.
Sure.
He's going to have a better offensive line. He's still going to face some of the things he faced last year on some crucial snaps, and he's going to need to figure that out. Now, we only have 9 games in evidence. But is he going to be a guy that can figure that out? We don't know yet. But the idea that he's got to be in a bubble in order to function is crazy. And that's why I'm saying, like, his senior year at Kentucky or his last year at Kentucky, I'm not pretending that I watched all of that. But an elite college quarterback in his final year of college, I think, should do better than he did in bad circumstances.
There you go. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. We'll have more with Paul Kuharski coming up next. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Well,
it sucks. Losing. Awful.
As a psychiatrist, it is my professional opinion that Paul is extremely jealous of Joe. Excellent takes. His envy is blatantly obvious.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. We all see it, but you had the courage to say it. I appreciate you.
Yeah, that's a courageous thing to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one disappointing part about yesterday. I don't think Trey Avery came up at all in the press conferences yesterday. Tough look.
How did Johnny handle that when you brought it up on air? Because I didn't get an honest answer from him.
It was just like, no, thanks, guys.
Really appreciate you guys bringing that up.
I was like, devastated, huh, Johnny? He's like,
I mean, at some point this year, a Glenn and Trey Avery question has
to happen.
Right, come on.
Yeah.
Let's play the hits.
I mean, he's not I don't know that he is conscious enough not to do it.
He may not be.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a beauty.
All right. So first of all, I want to turn this into, because we have Paul here for a few more minutes, a theme that's been on the text line a lot about the Levis thing. So I'm gonna combine a lot of questions into that. But I'm so glad, Nick, that you played the reading of that texture, because he followed up with the text, and I just want to lay this here for everybody to
okay.
You know, then we can. He said, Joe, I will share my credentials in the near future. Until then, be very careful around Paul. He's definitely out to get you. If you and your wife happen to be storing frozen embryos in your freezer, Paul would be the most likely to use one as an ice cube in his gin and tonic.
That's disgusting. Why did you read that? People are eating breakfast.
I'm now afraid of this person. However, I still very much appreciate your text.
Are you planning on having another child?
No.
You're a little old for that.
Thanks.
Champ.
Yeah, thank you. Wow.
Hey, is that your grandpa?
I mean, I don't know. Bill Belichick's playing Ring Around the Rosie. Who knows what may happen.
That's not a guy to model after.
It's true.
So anyway, let me synthesize all these into the point, and we talked about it a lot, but I think it's valid to bring up with all these things about Levis, which is scheme and coaching. And I've been on record as saying it's not as bad as you think it was last year for him in terms of coaching and scheme. Again, the offense they did change. By the way, they changed last year to like the Patriots offense, basically. Basically, that was Brady's offense of the Patriots that they ran last year. But it was a modern NFL scheme. They couldn't block anyone. They had one receiver. That, to me, is what it comes down to. It is Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's. That said, I do think it's exciting that Brian Callahan comes from where he comes from, what we saw in Cincinnati with Callahan as OC under Zach Taylor, what we've seen from this entire tree of coaches. I mean, this is basically the McVay, Shanahan tree, and the offensive guys – other than Nathaniel Hackett, have been pretty freaking successful. Even, you know, you guys ripped. I mean, Robbie wanted to fire Matt LaFleur many times, and now he's got to give him his flowers because he's pretty freaking good up there. Just saying.
Not good enough to coach up Andre Diller, apparently.
So how much does that matter? How much of a difference will that make for Will Levis?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big question, and that's kind of what I've been trying to get at. There's a lot of anticipation, but we need to see. And I think, we as a market have hyped ourselves into great expectations for Will Levis. I think in some quarters, too big expectations for Will Levis. Maybe he surprises us.
Which is nothing like the NFL.
it would surprise me. Well, we don't want to fall victim to what NFL offseason is. I've done it too many times. I did it last year. So I'm trying to hold myself in check. Last year, you and I and everybody did it, convinced ourselves that this was going to be a good team and take off. And this is a better team than last year's team. But how much better? The division's better. The quarterbacks are all better. So I think Will Levis is going to be better. But it might be unrealistic to expect him to be as better as we're anticipating.
Well, and here's the other thing.
40 touchdowns and a lot of touchdowns.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
The other thing is, this has been six months, and I don't want to use the term that Jared is throwing out there of toxic positivity, but it's been 6 months. Look, it's a new coaching staff. It's a new era of Titans football. Everything's all rosy, right? Well, we're about to find out a lot about Brian Callahan. He's not been a play caller before. He's not been a head coach before. Will Levis is entering into his first year as the unquestioned starter heading into camp. Like, there's a lot that has happened or that is about to happen that we have no idea how these guys are going to respond to. Like, it's all been rosy. The last coaching staff sucks. This one's great. Like, everything's great. But this is the only thing that matters, is when the bullets start to get live here and we're about to figure out exactly what Callahan and Levis are made of.
And some teams – with a second-year quarterback and a new coach and a new philosophy and everything, take off. And some teams sputter. What does the Titans' DNA tell you will happen?
Oh, now you're going to go back to
I'm just saying, I know that you believe Titans. That none of that has anything to do with this.
I mean, ownership, like if there are ownership issues, like the Lions are a great example of bad ownership consistently killing a team. But other than that, what would it be?
I'm just telling you, I've been here for all of it.
I know.
And there's something in the DNA.
There's something in the water.
There is.
Causing you to lose your memory, but I don't know if it's really hurt the Titans.
My memory? who asked the question
about that? It's causing you to sound like Terry McCormick when you ask questions. Hey, we got a memory coach, by the way, on here. Or a guy who says wife, she's a memory caregiver.
That's great.
Offered to help us out. Oh, yeah, we both need help. I can raise my hand. I have self-awareness.
Overhead light in the master bedroom of my house went out a couple days ago, and I'm like, yeah, I got to change that. Until I put a reminder in my phone to do it yesterday afternoon, we operated in the dark for 3.5 days.
Just total dark.
Just like Braille, walking around the bedroom.
I prefer you operating
in
the dark in your bedroom anyway, but yeah.
To, like, get clothes.
A lot of things going on in this segment.
Out of my pile of clothes on my chair, not out of any drawer.
Sorry, we started talking about Belichick.
Went off the wall to frozen embryos and other things. Great stuff. I mean, he is right. Throughout the basically the entirety of the franchise, hadn't been able to find any receivers except for two, maybe three.
Yeah, but again, like.
Maybe they have some now.
I mean, again, this is just like helmet scouting. I got people asking me. You know, it's like the Ohio State quarterback. Now I got people asking me, like on my, like in the comments on the last thing I wrote, is like, oh, this Alabama, what is it about their system and offensive tackles? They're all busts. I'm like, I really don't think Alabama does anything that like would cause all their tackles. Like they've had a little bit of a bad run, but you know what that means? It's hard to find good college tackles who actually make it big in the NFL. It's very hard to find really good offensive line in the NFL.
Look,
right?
I see evidence that things are going to be good. But we talked like this about Ken Wisenhunt at the start of Ken Wisenhunt's first training camp.
Sure. Sure. I think the thing is, when we go back to scheme, look, the hit rate is very high with this tree. It is. It doesn't guarantee a thing.
Yep.
But also, I mean, have you guys not been, press conferences are press conferences, but have you guys not been impressed with Brian Callahan in terms of explaining things and the way he seems to be
going like he knows
about
what he's doing.
There's no doubt. Yeah. Everything seems great.
I mean, were you impressed with Wisenhunt? I don't know. I mean, the thing about Wisenhunt is he was a little superstar for a few years in this league, and all of a sudden he gets here, and it was like, wow.
A complete ass.
Emperor with no clothes at all.
None.
Was he a complete ass from the start?
Great
like,
week
like
one.
Like you knew that?
I don't remember.
Fantastic week one, coach.
First off, I have memory
problems.
I'm
sure you kissed his butt and made excuses for him.
Yeah, yeah. He and I never fought. I don't remember, A, because I wanted to wipe it from my memory, and B, because as we've been discussing pretty thoroughly in this hour, we have memory issues.
C, he wasn't here very long. Didn't go very well for a while.
I remember that Tommy Smith
should be better, though. Right?
I remember that Tommy Smith liked the idea of him being a play caller, but he couldn't explain why.
Yeah,
he just liked it.
PK, have fun out there at training camp today.
Don't block the box, but be sure to lock your locks. See ya!
I'll see you in Stilly out there. I hope you're
the,
together.
Tennessee Titans going next. Joe Rexrod might have a few things to say about Stilly as well. We'll
I
get
do.
Into all that. Robbie and Rexrod, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.